Reading first from Judges, chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Let us hear God's word. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Then reading from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And although they know of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And then reading from Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you now. And you have fed us with the bread of the earth, but Heavenly Father, we hunger. We hunger for the bread of heaven. We pray that you will provide the grace of Christ that we may hear and understand. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have heard of the domino effect. You know, you set up the dominoes in a line and you knock one over and it knocks another one over and so forth, going right on down the line until all the dominoes have been knocked over. In the domino effect, there is a cause and effect relationship that happens very quickly that can also be seen by everyone. Well, the second part of the second commandment refers to a domino effect, except it is a domino effect that happens very slowly, very gradual. It happens over generation and generation. It doesn't happen all at once, or else we would be able to see it. No, it happens slowly. And because it is so gradual, we don't even know that it's happening. And because we do not see it clearly, it's difficult to see and understand the cause and effect. Yet it is there. It is so gradual and hard to detect that God has to show us that it's there, because otherwise we wouldn't know it. In the second part of the second commandment, we are told about this domino effect. People gave up the knowledge of God and began to worship a God of their own creating. Verse 5, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." We have seen in the last several weeks that worshiping the right God is not enough. We must worship the right God in the right way. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. Because God is spirit, therefore we must worship in spirit. Not with tangible things, not with idols, not with statues, but in spirit. We worship in spirit, but we also worship in truth. And by worshiping in truth, therefore, we proclaim who God is, what God has done, according to what the Scriptures have revealed to us. This is how we worship in spirit and in truth. He is truth, therefore we worship Him as He says He is to be worshipped. He is spirit, so we do not worship with idols or statues. We cannot create on our own the way God is to be worshipped. His word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Only through the Scriptures, only in the Bible, do we get an understanding of who God is and how He is to be worshipped. The Bible is God-breathed. It's given to us through the breath of God, that we may understand Him, we may understand His ways and what is required of us. The Bible is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, even worship. What feels right to us most of the time is not right. That's why we need the Scriptures to correct us. We have seen the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. We have seen a close confidant of King David, Uzzah, how they did not worship in spirit and in truth, how they changed worship and thus were immediately eliminated. This sin of idolatry is so serious that the punishment of this sin is never isolated to one person. It's not isolated to one person. It's like a cancer. It can start with one. It can spread to others. For when we ignore what God has said in His Word and we create an image of God, even if it's just in our own mind, that is idolatry. And it is so serious that the domino effect of idolatry has terrible consequences for the entire family and the entire culture. You see, idolatry, it is the Trojan horse of the church. It is a sin that at first it seems quite harmless. Quite harmless from the outside. But once it takes hold, it is death to a congregation. It is death to an individual. It is death to a culture. Neglecting God's word, and as a result, committing idolatry by thinking about God in wrong ways, is the primary way that God's people fall into breaking the commandments. All right? If you find yourselves breaking commandments 3 through 10, I got news for you. It ain't the 3 through 10 that you need to worry about. It's the commandments 1 and 2. Because when you find yourself breaking commandments 3 through 10, it's because you've already broken commandments 1 through 2. It is commandments 1 and 2 that gives you presumptuously the desire to move into commandments 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's like rungs on a ladder. Step on this rung, then that rung, and that rung. But if the first two rungs are broken, well, you're not going to be able to get up that ladder very well, are you? And to counterattack this tendency, the psalmist tells us what we need to do. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The psalmist understands that to deal with idolatry, to combat idolatry in my heart, in my home, in my culture, to combat idolatry, I must first hide God's word in my heart, because God's word is the only thing that can deal with idolatry. The psalmist recognizes that holding to God's word will produce right thoughts of God, and right thoughts of God will produce right actions from us. But neglecting God's word, creating an image of God in our mind, will produce unrighteous acts in our life. You see, sin in the Bible, this is where we go wrong. We think sin, as it's presented in the Bible, is isolated to doing this or not doing that. No. Sin, as it is portrayed in the Bible, always presents itself as religious perversion, which then leads to moral perversion. The root cause of immorality is idolatry. The root cause I can't even think, y'all. I'm having a hard time with my eye here. The root cause of immorality is idolatry. Look at all the bad things that are going on in our culture. Abortion, murder, homosexuality, gender change, terrorism, and the list just goes on and on and on. You see, before a person gets to that point of committing those particular sins, it's because they have already given up commandments 1 and 2. All right, think about this. Nadab, Abihu, Uzzah, they didn't know what was going to happen. Nadab and Abihu, when they offered the strange fire, they didn't know what was going to happen in the next moment. Uzzah, when he touched the Ark of the Covenant, he didn't know what was going to happen in the next moment. If they knew what was going to happen, you think Nadab and Abihu would have offered strange fire? Do you think that Uzzah would have still tried to steady the ark instead of just getting out of the way or not even volunteering to help carry the ark? No. But we know. We know because the scriptures have revealed it to us. We know that to profane the name of God can instantly bring judgment upon us. Good theology produces good consequences. Bad theology is going to produce bad consequences. Listen to what Paul writes to the Romans. He says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what they ought not to do. Notice what Paul says. Because the people rejected the revelation of God, therefore they became immoral. Therefore they did all these wicked things. As one would throw out the trash, people have thrown out God's revelation of himself and substituted it for something else. They have created their own God in their own mind to worship in their own way. The church in the United States does that. We create a God in our own image, and then we wonder why things are the way they are. Religious failure leads to moral failure. People don't commit these terrible acts of sin until they have first rejected the God who has revealed himself. This is clearly seen in the book of Judges that we read from earlier. It says, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who lived with him and who had seen the great things that the Lord had done for Israel. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. And then the book of Judges concludes with this. So everyone did what was right in his own eyes. When we read the book of Judges, we come to Gideon. Gideon's a good guy. I mean, he's one of the Lord's chosen. He's a good dude, okay? A righteous man. What else do you see about Gideon's life? He's got these idols. He was a man of God. Yet, he had idols. We read about Micah. Micah was a good guy. Loved the Lord. One of the judges of Israel. Micah kept gods in his house. Idols. And then we read about all these terrible sins that are going on in Israel. And the scriptures make the connection. It is because they broke commandments 1 and 2. Because they gave up on the God who had delivered them. That they then moved to worship the false gods of the nations around them. And adopt their practice. They broke the second commandment. They committed religious deviance. And the practical implication was Israel became immoral. And not only for one generation, but it progressed. And it got worse as generation after generation after generation rejected the God of Israel, and began to adopt the worship of others around them. A failure in good theology produces failure in morality. The consequences of idolatry is so great that we are told that God will visit the sins of the fathers unto the sons and daughters, to the third and fourth generation. What you think of God, it will affect you, but it will affect your family, and it will affect your church, and it will affect your country. Whether it's good thoughts and correct thoughts or bad thoughts, your idea of God will affect the generations to come. What you think of God will happen. The consequences will happen to the next generation. Therefore, let us strive to worship God in spirit and in truth. And God will show mercy to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and seek to keep His commandments. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies in Christ. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. O Heavenly Father, work in us that we would be faithful to You, that we would hold on to the faith of our fathers for generation after generation after generation, that we would worship You in spirit and in truth. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.